presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Dave Preston, WTLP, joining us. We talk about Alex Smith and the retirement of the Washington quarterback. Just got an image of Paternostro 3 there. Progressive Guest Line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Dave?
Hey, he stole it and he hit it. He stole it and he hit it. Bruh, 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 bruh. Oh, missed this bumper music.
I know. I just told Ron. I was like, this is long. This is 20 plus years ago doing these. This is the intro.
You know what's amazing is that when we'd use this for Penman games, the song is about as old then as it's been since we've done the Penman game.
I know.
I'm going to have to sit down now.
All right, Alex Smith, I was talking about this morning. This, I'm glad you're on because you get the Washington perspective of this. This is he has a complicated legacy. I mean, he's a guy that is going to be remembered forever for this incredible, improbable comeback to play football after his injury. But he's also a number one pick that lost his job twice, that lost his job to two guys that led the team to a Super Bowl. How do you look at Alex Smith in the few years that he was in Washington? How do you put the 16 years in context?
Well, what's amazing about Alex Smith's career is that you could say that he actually had two or three little mini careers within that arc. And in Washington, in a different division, being in a different conference than Kansas City, you didn't get a chance to see him struggle as much back in his early days with San Francisco. You didn't see him when he was able to find his groove with Kansas City and then finally get replaced. He had that one fantastic season where I think his passer rating was over 100. Even though nowadays that's more commonplace than it was even 20 years ago. It's how they cook the offensive books in the NFL now with the rules. I think his Washington legacy was at the end of a very difficult era. It was the end of the Jay Gruden era, and he was the replacement for Kirk Cousins. Things were kind of working out, but not really when he got hurt. I think Washington fans will view him as a guy who persevered, because the history of the Washington franchise is, you know, you've got quarterbacks who break their legs on that field, yeah, and they don't come back. Joe Theismann, on the near anniversary of Theismann's, horrible injury on Monday Night Football, Alex Smith goes down, and it's a compound fracture, and they actually found like part of a sock or something like that when they stitch up the wound. So he almost lost his leg. Nobody comes back from that injury. You know, there are a lot of injuries that are very difficult to come back from. Until Alex Smith, nobody came back from that injury. And for him to be able to fight through that amidst a franchise that's been taking a lot of flack on and off the field over the last 5 years, the sexual harassment charges, the issues with the cheerleaders and the calendar shoots and things of that vein, the cloud of less than awesome thing, you know, circumstances surrounding this franchise this century, Alex Smith coming back and being able to play. I mean, what was he, a Pro Bowler last fall? No, he did win games for them down the stretch. Without him, they don't make the postseason because it's a Dwayne Haskins kid who was the wrong quarterback in the wrong time in the wrong system. Who you hope that he's able to find his, you know, himself when he's in Pittsburgh, but Alex Smith helped lead this team to a division championship. Granted, it was a 7-9 season. Granted, he didn't start in the playoff game. He was done. You saw him late in that game against Philly where he was struggling to play at the NFL level with that leg. But Ryan Gosling plays him in the Disney movie, hands
That's
down.
That's right. I've grown a little cynical sometimes as I've gotten older and covered athletes with injuries, because maybe in my earlier days I would have said, oh, he's going to come right back. But you never know, because I'm not a doctor and I don't know these things. But that's as confident as you could say if you said he's never going to play again. That's as confident of a statement you could have made with that type of injury. That being said, how did Washington hang with him in a league that doesn't do charity? How did they stay with him to see if he could even do this?
It doesn't hurt that he was in really tight with the owner. And, over the years, that's been to the team's detriment. But I think this is one of the few cases where being tight with the owner really kind of helps. It helped the franchise not cut ties with him immediately. Also, the contract, if they were to cut him way back when, they would have had to take a cap hit. They weren't ready to take that cap hit. No one's ready to take the cap hit with the amount of money that was left on the deal. So they kind of had to massage the numbers a little bit, to keep him on the team. And I think that because so many other things were going on, that you had a failed, the failed Jay Gruden regime where things just, didn't end well. You had the Dwayne Haskins situation where he wasn't working out. You kind of just, it almost made sense to just keep this guy around. And you know what? It's going to be a nice, the longer that he was around, the less you were going to have to, cough up and cap penalties when you wound up cutting him. So it made sense to keep him sticking around. If this injury happens in 1975 or 1995, odds are they cut him and they don't have to, in a pre-free agency world, they don't have to worry about it. He's gone. He retires, and everybody moves on. And I think I think the team saw how dedicated he was in coming back from this injury. I also think that they were a little sympathetic due to the fact that, he almost lost the leg, and here he is trying to come back. So you give him maybe a little more, rope, so to speak, than if it were just an ACL or, a shoulder injury or Tommy John or something like that. So it was the perfect storm for him to come back. And, for a handful of games, he actually really played well and led this team to some victories last fall. And this has been a franchise that has had a lot more valleys than mountains the last 20 years.
There's been a lot of stories now coming out about how, in his time in San Francisco, that when he was injured and Colin Kaepernick and that hype machine was moving forward, he was right behind it and he was helping out and he was showing his support. Even in Kansas City, where the writing was absolutely on the wall that the Chiefs are going in a completely different direction, he was helping Patrick Mahomes. He didn't necessarily have that in Washington, until the injury. But what kind of player was he? How well-liked was he around the organization?
Everything we heard was that he was a fantastic teammate. And, you talk about, the temperature of the locker room. I hope we're able to get that, again, sooner rather than later, covering, whether it's Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, or the NFL. It's been tough for us not being able to be in the locker room, to be in the clubhouse. I hope we get that back soon, because you really get a feel of the team and a feel of what's going on, as opposed to just Zoom press conferences. But everything that we had heard, he was very supportive. And you don't often see that in pro sports, because it's your career and you have a limited window to make this money. And so many guys view life and not just everywhere. I think guys are very competitive in any walk of life, and some people believe in life as a zero sum game. So if player B is being successful, that's at my expense. And I think what was great about Alex as a player, as a teammate, was that he didn't view other players' success, even at his own position, as at his expense. He was happy. He was genuinely happy for them, even if deep down inside he was kind of bummed that, wow, the Niners are finally good after me taking so many lumps, and I'm not going to be the quarterback. Or, gosh, I finally have an offensive system that really works with my talents, and Patrick Mahomes is now the quarterback of the future.
Does this comeback for an organization that is so rich in history and has Super Bowl championships and all the things that organization has, does this comeback or his ability to get back from the injury to get back on the field, does it have a place? Does it have a big place in the Washington lore?
Right now, it's the bright spot of the last 20 years when you look at this franchise.
Yeah, sure.
This is a franchise that has not won 11 regular season games since 1991. They haven't won a playoff game in over a decade. They have more last place finishes than playoff wins this century. And so, they're in that odds situation. Dallas is another franchise. You know, you look at maybe in where, yes, you have this history, but there has not been a lot lately. Detroit was a similar franchise, incredible success, and the Bronx, too. Your franchises with incredible success at one point, and then, you know what, they haven't had a lot to show for it lately. This is hands down the best story for this franchise in the last 20 years. And, you know, we were lucky to, there have been more than a few highs. The season with RG3 was a great run. I think the RG3 thing is bittersweet because you saw kind of how good things could get with Shanahan and RG3, and then for it to flame out a year later, it was, you know, very unfortunate. But with Alex Smith, I think there's no bittersweetness because he maxed out this is a guy who literally maxed out everything that he could do. He had stuff, he had tendons in his leg that were from different parts of his body when he played last fall. And I
said this morning, when he writes the book of his life and his career, I'm buying it. I think he would have an amazing insight into, just to get a firsthand account of just the ups and downs of San Francisco and Kansas City, and then this—I mean, this injury. Golly, to be told you could die from this. I mean, and then just say, "Well, right. I'm not only not going to die; I'm going to go back to play professional football again." That's
well, and you know what? John Feinstein wrote about him a few years ago, and a couple of other guys in his book called it may have been called The Quarterbacks or Quarterback. Something along those lines, a great read. But you look at Alex Smith, he leaves, and in comes Ryan Fitzpatrick, the guy who was taken, I believe, 250th in the 2005 draft, where Alex Smith was picked first. And the craziest thing, Tony, is that last fall when Alex Smith was finding his way back into the lineup, if you looked at their career numbers, they were within maybe 15 or 20 career attempts. Yardage was similar. It was eerie. Because these are two guys who have had two completely different career arcs, career paths. They started from different spots. They came from different, type schools, this, that, and the other. And, for a brief shining moment last fall, their career stats were almost identical despite two completely different careers.
Crazy. Dave, always good talking to you, my friend. Thanks for coming on at such last minute. I appreciate it as always, my friend.
Thanks again, Tony.
You got it. Dave Preston, WTOP, on a Progressive guest line, talking about Alex Smith and, again, announcing his retirement after 16 seasons. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. We'll come back, final thoughts on that as we continue with Wake Up Call.